Welcome to the Power for Life. This broadcast brings to you a message of life-changing revival in the Holy Spirit. We pray that today's program will help to spur you on to experience the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in your life. Now here with today's message is Tom Hill.
The Bible makes frequent mention of the children of Israel and their journey from Egypt and their exodus out of Egypt through the wilderness into the promised land. It talks about them in the Old Testament. It also describes their journey in the New Testament. And it is always given as an example. It is shown so that we who observe their behavior can be admonished and can use it as an example to us how we are to avoid the same kind of sinful behavior that they demonstrated against God and as recorded for us in the Old Testament. During the past few studies, we've been looking at this journey of the children of Israel and looking at their sins against God and how their behavior showed their unbelief and showed their disobedience against God and how it expressed itself in their behavior and their attitude towards God. And as the foundation of our study, we've actually used a verse from the New Testament, which gives to us the purpose of the description of the journey of the children of Israel from Egypt into the promised land. And that reference is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 11. Now, up to verse 11 in this passage in 1 Corinthians, it's been talking about the children of Israel and their journey. And here's the summary verse number 11, that we use as the basis for our study and our review of the children of Israel. It says this, "Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition." So we've been studying over the past few studies the children of Israel and their sins against God, that they might be an example to us in our day, that we might be admonished by their sinful behavior against God, that we might learn how to walk in holiness of life, in obedience, in faith towards God. Today I want us to take a look at another occasion in the life of the children of Israel in their journey through the wilderness. Today our study is taken from Numbers chapter 11. It is the fourth book in the Bible. It is in the Old Testament. Numbers chapter 11. And I want us to examine an occasion that's only recorded in three verses. It's a very short description, but yet it has some very strong implications for us in our behavior and our walk with the Lord. I'll read Numbers 11, verses 1, 2, and 3, just a very short passage, and then we'll examine it for our study today. Here's what it says. "And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them, and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses, and when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them." Just to give you the setting of this occasion, this is following all of the giving of the law by God to Moses, and it follows the building of the tabernacle. It follows all of that construction that went on by the children of Israel. The shaking of Mount Sinai, as God himself was on the mountain and he spoke with Moses and with Joshua and gave to him the description of the tabernacle and how they were to build it. In addition, God gave to Moses the law, not only the moral law, but the law under which they were to live as a political group of people, the practical law, if you will. And all of that precedes Numbers chapter 11. In fact, the conclusion of the construction of the temple has occurred. God himself has come down and is now residing in the Holy of Holies, that special part of the tabernacle reserved just for his presence. And according to God's direction, when the cloudy pillar would rise up off the tabernacle and move, that was the signal to the children of Israel that they were to follow. That it was God leading them to move to another location. That has occurred. It is 3 days after the cloudy pillar has gone up off of the tabernacle and has moved. And the children of Israel have followed it. And it's 3 days following all of those different events that occurred in the experience of the children of Israel, when they sensed God's presence so clearly that the earth literally shook, when there was great lightning and thunder, so there was a great display of God's presence. They saw that. They experienced it. Now we come to our passage in Numbers chapter 11. And it starts out at the very beginning and it says, "And the children of Israel complained." From this passage here, I want us to examine another time in the experience of the children of Israel when they sinned against God, when they expressed their unbelief and their disobedience towards God through their complaining unto Him and to Moses. And from this passage, I pray that the Spirit of God will take these truths and will apply them to your life today, that He might teach you and reveal to you His truth, that as a result of that revelation of truth, it might convict you, show you where you are acting and following their pattern of life instead of the one that God wants for you to follow, and that these truths might correct you and conform your attitudes, opinions, your actions to the truth of God's Word. Now let's take a look at this occasion in the life of the children of Israel. It says that they complained. Now what does that word mean? Before we get into the study, I want us to have an understanding of what that word means. It means to murmur. It means to lament. It means to cry out unto God. It means literally, as it is given here, to complain. But it goes a little bit beyond just merely meaning to complain. In its fullest meaning, it means to show yourself as a complainer. Now that's far different than just an individual occurrence of complaining. What it is describing here is a total set of the mind, an attitude of the heart, if you will. Not only did they express a complaint, but they were complainers. That was the description of their attitude of heart, their mindset, the way they viewed their occasions in life and their experiences that they faced. They were known as complainers. Now that puts a far different viewpoint on how we look at this behavior of the children of Israel. It wasn't just an isolated incidence of complaining, but rather it is describing their attitude. How they really felt down in their heart and in their mind. That's how they viewed things. They were complainers. Now as we take that understanding, it can now give us some insight into this complaining attitude of the children of Israel. First of all, it shows us that their complaining was a pattern of life. As we look back into the prior history, prior to Numbers chapter 11, and review just real quickly some of the events that occurred in their life and in their experience, we find that it does in fact describe them as complainers. It is a pattern of their life. For example, we find in Exodus chapter 14, we read where the children of Israel encountered the Red Sea. Mountains were on either side. The Egyptians were coming from the third side. And in front of them was the Red Sea. And it says, they cried out in complaint unto God. What are you going to do? Are you going to kill us right here? They were complaining at the very outset of their journey. We come to Exodus chapter 15, which is just shortly after God's miraculous display of power at the Red Sea. They come to a spot called Marah. And they come to bitter water. There's water there, but it's bitter. And they complained unto God, God, you gave us bitter things. Can't you do better than this? God sweetened the water, made it drinkable and usable. We come then to Exodus chapter 16, and we find that the children of Israel are again complaining. This time they're complaining that they don't have any food. So God provides for them manna, and He provides for them quail to eat. God, in His grace and mercy, provided for them in spite of their complaining attitude. We come then to Exodus chapter 17. We find them again without water. God provides for them water out of the rock. Moses struck the rock with his rod and water gushed out in abundant supply. But they complained, they complained, they complained, and they complained yet again. And one more time prior to this, they complained, and that's Exodus chapter 32. Moses was up on the mountain receiving the law from God, and they complained that he was gone. And they made unto themselves a golden calf that they fell down and worshipped. I think we can conclude rather clearly that the word here given to them as complainers fits them. It describes them to a T. It was their pattern of life. They were complainers. And if you follow through the study, through the rest of our series that we have on them, you will see that this isn't the last time that they complain. This is a very apt description of them. They were complainers. Now before we move on, let me just stop for a moment and ask you, does that describe you? If someone were to describe your attitude towards God and the way you view life, are you known as a complainer? Someone who is always crying over your depressed condition, over the circumstances that you face and the difficulties that come, constantly, constantly, constantly complaining? That was the children of Israel. It was a pattern of their life, constantly complaining unto God for the circumstances in which they found themselves. Now I want you to notice the second thing about this complaining attitude of the children of Israel. Not only was it a pattern of life, but it was in actuality a perversion of the truth. For as we look back in the experience of the children of Israel, and I've mentioned some of them as we've gone through, God constantly provided for them. There were numerous and frequent revelations of God Himself to the children of Israel that they just completely set aside. They did not believe them, nor did they follow up on those revelations to learn more about God. We find as we look back through the journey of the children of Israel up to this passage, we find that God displayed frequently His power. There was the Red Sea that He divided in two. There was the manna and the quail that He provided for them. There was the water out of the rock. There was abundant display of God's power. We find that there was also abundant display of God's provision for them. Every time that there was a physical need, water, food, God provided it for them in great abundance, sufficient to meet their physical needs and demands. We find that there was also the ready availability of God's providence. There was the cloudy pillar by day and the fiery pillar at night, constantly leading them in their path and in their journey. God's constant watch care over them, giving them divine providential direction in their lives. We find that there was, in addition to these, there was also the constant protection of God. God protected the children of Israel from their enemies. He delivered them from the children of Egypt and from the armies of Egypt. He sent them through the southern part of the Sinai Peninsula that He might protect them from the Philistines. There was God's constant protection over them. There was God's constant patience with them. Through all of their complaining and their crying out unto God, there was God's patience. He continued to provide their needs. He continued to display for them His grace and His mercy, His loving compassion towards them, His patience. Well, the children of Israel rejected all of that truth. They did not observe it clearly. They did not understand it. It made no impact upon their lives. It made no change in their heart and in their mind. So that their complaining against God was a perversion of the truth. It was in complete opposition to what God had revealed to them and what God had given to them. You know, there are some times when we can perhaps, as humans, legitimately complain. We were mistreated. There was a mistake made. Someone was at fault that injured us and caused a problem. And we have a legitimate complaint. Ah, but you see, that's not true of the children of Israel. There was no cause whatsoever for their complaint against God. It was a perversion of the truth. Does that describe you? Have you set aside the reality of God's revelation to you and you refuse to accept and believe it? And instead you've perverted that truth and you continue to complain against God despite all of the gracious displays of mercy and power that He's brought into your life? That's what the children of Israel did. That's why they were known as complainers. Now, there's one last thing I want us to notice about this complaining attitude of the children of Israel as given to us here in Numbers 11, and that's this. It proves what's really in the heart. You know, the Lord Jesus Himself taught us that what is in the heart ultimately reveals itself in how we live, how we talk, how we behave. Ultimately, what is in the heart reveals itself. And that's true here of the children of Israel, and in their example here given to us in Numbers chapter 11. For we read in Hebrews chapter 3, verse number 10, the description given of the children of Israel going through this very time period that we've studied today. The description is given in this fashion. It says, "You do always err in your heart." So that their complaining attitude showed what was really in the heart. It revealed their attitude and their thoughts, their condition that was inside that perhaps no one could see until it revealed Himself in their complaining attitude. It gives to us, for example, and proves to us that inside of their heart was really conceit. It was conceit that made them cry out to God, "God, I deserve. I deserve food. I deserve better conditions than this. I deserve something more than what You've given to me." That's conceit. And it revealed that down inside the heart was an attitude of conceit. Not only was there an attitude of conceit, but there was also the sin of covetousness. The fact that they wanted more, they wanted more, they wanted more. They were never satisfied with what God gave them. They were constantly crying out for more. It also reveals to us that down inside their heart was this attitude of contention with God, where they were ungrateful to God. They doubted His word. They questioned Him at every hand. So that their complaining attitude, the description of them being complainers, really revealed what was down inside their heart and revealed the reality of their true condition. These are the truths concerning the children of Israel. The complainers given to us in Numbers chapter 11, they were known as complainers. I pray that the Spirit of God will take these truths and reveal them to you. That He will open up your eyes to see the truth of His attitude towards those who are known as complainers. You'll notice that God judged them. He sent a fire that consumed many people. We don't know the number. It's not given to us. But there were many people who were consumed with this fire from God, the judgment of God, because of their complaining attitude towards God. I pray that God will open your eyes to see the reality of His attitude towards the sin of complaining against God, revealing that inner heart that is actually contending with God, doubting and questioning His goodness. Where has the Spirit of God today opened your eyes to see where your behavior is just like their behavior? Could it be that this complaining attitude that they displayed is really a pattern of your life too? Is it possible that regardless of the circumstances, you complain and cry to God that you want more? You want something better? You want Him to show something better towards you that you might have more ease? Does it actually show you to be perverting the truth of God that He has displayed to you frequently in your life, His mercy and His grace, where He has given to you evidences of His power and of His providence, of His provision on your behalf, and despite all the truth that He's revealed to you, you have rejected it? And you've perverted that truth and you continue to complain against God? Is it possible that, like the children of Israel, it shows the true condition of your heart? That down inside you really are a conceited person that believes you deserve better than what you have? That you want more and more and more? And that you are actually contending with God? In the children of Israel's instance, it came because they doubted God's word. They questioned Him. They didn't believe Him. They didn't trust His word and His promise that He gave to them so clearly. How do you find yourself today? Do you find yourself guilty or innocent? Do you find yourself approved or reproved by the example of the children of Israel? You see, sin has its consequences. As a consequence of our sin, we grieve the Spirit of God and we quench His work in our lives. And God withdraws His glorious presence from us, that we don't have that intimate fellowship that is our right and that is our privilege as a child of God. The Spirit of God also wants to take these truths and correct you. He doesn't just convict you of your sin to make you uncomfortable and unhappy. He does it that He might correct you, that He might change you. You know, the Scriptures talk a great deal about this sin of complaining. And we read in 1 Corinthians 10:10, just prior to the verse that we read earlier in the broadcast, it talks about how God sent destruction to those who complained and doubted His word. The Spirit of God wants to correct you today. He wants to change your attitude from one of complaint to one of joy and thankfulness towards God. He wants to conform your attitudes and your opinions to the truth of God's word. He wants you to see them in practice, that you might enjoy and experience the reality of His truth in your life. We read in Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 5, for example, where the command of God is given to us that we are not to covet, that God has provided for us sufficiently. And He wants to bring that kind of an attitude into your mind and into your heart. I pray that the Spirit of God will take these truths and will apply them in your life today, will change you, correct you, conform you to the truth of God's word, that you might find it real in your experience.